The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
Now, there have been reports from candidates in the local elections who come from a migrant background that they have received abuse and intimidation. In a moment, we'll talk to Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in DCU. But first, Teresa Bukaska, who is Political Participation Coordinator with the Immigrant Council of Ireland, joins us. And Teresa, tell us what you've been hearing about the way some candidates have been treated by some members of the public.
The Immigrant Council of Ireland runs weekly meetings for candidates of a migrant background. These are Zoom meetings and it operates as a drop-in session. So every week we have people coming to those meetings just to seek information, seek additional support, and also to tell us about the experiences. And from talking to those people who are attending those sessions, we know that the level of harassment and intimidation is much higher than it was in 2019. And also the experiences of violence that we've witnessed in Ireland in the recent months really is pushing certain candidates towards making decisions to have limited campaigning outreach in terms of canvassing or even putting their posters out in public out of fear that they might be identified and they might draw violent attention to themselves and to their families.
Has there been any physical assault?
We haven't really heard about any physical assault yet, but we've seen some videos that were spread on social media where people were threatened with physical assault. There were situations we were informed about situations that could have potentially become a physical assault if the person wouldn't leave the situation on time. But as an organization, we are going to conduct a research follow after the election day on the experiences of migrant election candidates. So we will see a bigger picture then.
How many candidates from migrant backgrounds are believed to be running in the local elections this Friday?
So we did a research and we identified over 100 candidates of a migrant background.
See, we've been hearing a lot from some protesters about the various international protection applicants that they're not against migrants coming to the country if they're work. They're against those who are looking for what they regard as benefits. And yet, here we have a situation, we've seen, Teresa, where we have people who have come from other countries. And not only do they work in the community, they want to get involved in the politics of our society, and they're getting abused by people who try would say perhaps that they're not racist. What do you make of that?
This is the question that really baffles me, because when people are integrating and are working and putting effort to make the lives of local communities better, they are being attacked for that as well. So on one hand, people are demanding from migrant communities to integrate, but when we are integrating to the level where we are actually ready to participate in Irish democracy in more active way, that's also no good. So that is the catch 22 in a sense. But I think we need to remember that Irish electoral system is one of the best in the world and has been prized for being most inclusive, and that is actually making our democracy stronger. And if we, like migrants coming to Ireland, we are working, we are paying taxes, we are contributing to the economy, we are providing essential work, we should be able to participate in making decisions that are affecting our lives too. And that is a common good. When we have variety of voices, we can, at the decision-making table, we can ensure that the policy that's being created is actually going to be to the benefit of everyone else. And we know from working in this sector that certain policies are actually making migrants more vulnerable to unemployment, more vulnerable to falling outside of the system and becoming undocumented. And that's why we need voices of migrants at the decision-making table, that we can provide policies that will actually enable migrants to integrate better and faster into Irish society.
Gary Murphy, what do you make of this abuse of some of the candidates from migrant backgrounds and the fear that they now have of experiencing more as they go about legitimate canvassing?
Well, I think, Matt, like all right-thinking Irish citizens, I deplore it. And it's a sorry indictment of the way the coarseness of our politics, and it's not just immigrant candidates who have been abused. If we could call them sort of native Irish candidates, have been abused as well. And I think you might have had one or two on your show over the course of the past couple of weeks. So yeah, it's a sad indictment of it's a small element, I think, in Irish society who have decided to weaponise the immigrants running for office. And just to echo Teresa, we've moved from 37 candidates of immigrant background ran in 10 years ago in the local elections. It was 53 5 years ago. It's over 100 on Friday. So we're going in the right direction. But the numbers, again, are also pretty small because we had about 1,900 candidates run in 2019. We have something close to 2,000 candidates running on Friday. So it's a pretty small amount. But the more, I wrote about this in my Sunday Times article a few weeks ago, Matt, the more immigrant candidates we can persuade to run for office, I think the better our society will be, because of the very reasons you just mentioned to Teresa, because you inculcate them into the communities they live and work and support.
Something else, Gary. I see there are certain types on social media as well complaining about the vote been extended to people from non-Irish backgrounds, as they would suggest. Tell us about how the entitlement and how long the entitlement has been in place for people living in this country to vote in local elections, even if they are not citizens of the country.
Yeah, no, this is not a new thing at all, Matt. The 1992 Electoral Act permits pretty much all ordinarily resident adults to vote in local elections, regardless of nationality or ethnic or cultural background. So this is not some new sort of conspiracy theory. It's a long-standing element of our politics going back a couple of
decades. It's the 1960s, in fact, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah. The 1992 Electoral Act is an update, Matt, of earlier acts going back to the 1960s, and it's different again for general and for European elections. But at a local level, I think this act makes perfect sense, because what we're trying to do is have a social contract between those who live in our communities, including me and you, and those we want to represent us. And if immigrants are living in our communities and working hard, and you know, and some of them getting benefits, of course, well, then they should be entitled to run. Well, one of the other issues worth mentioning, Matt, is notwithstanding the right to vote, many immigrants participate very only on a very limited extent in Irish politics. Significant numbers of them are unaware of their right, and many of those who are cognizant of it are also, I think, afraid to use it because of fear of what voting entails. Remember, many of these people would have no conception of voting in free elections. Some of them are confused about the fact that they can vote for different parties on the same ballot, or that they can vote down the ballot, because obviously PRSTV is only used here in Ireland and in Malta, of all places, for elections. So we shouldn't take this right for granted that all immigrants know about it. But the more we can get either running for office or also actually voting, I think the better.
Yeah, Teresa Potowska, tell us about encouraging people to actually vote and explaining, as Gary just pointed out, the complexities of the Irish electoral system to them.
I agree completely with Gary. So as much as information outreach about voting rights improved in recent years, and lots of organizations, civil societies, community groups are actively working towards registering people to vote and informing people about voting rights, what is actually missing is information how to vote, because Irish electoral system looks so different than in other countries. And this is something that we identified as an organization recently. recently. So we are putting right now a lot of effort to reach out to communities with information how to properly fill in the ballot paper so the voices votes will not be spoiled. And this is a worry of our organization because it's been announced that in 2019 over 100,000 votes were spoiled, and we believe that a lot of numbers of those spoiled votes were coming from migrant communities. And that's something that we collectively need to address.
Yes, because Gary Murphy, there is an issue, isn't there, according to the commission, with people starting to vote on maybe the local elections and carrying the numbers on into the European Parliament papers when they're two entirely separate votes. Are people not understanding perhaps the proportional representation about the 1, 2, 3 and going down the list, maybe ticking a box for one particular person rather than voting properly?
Yes, Matt. I mean, over the years, I've been asked all sorts of questions about this, including things like, do I have to put a number beside every candidate on the ballot paper? Do I have to vote in order of party? What happens if I only give a number one preference and don't do anything else? What happens if I get confused and put an X next to the candidate? What happens to my number 3 vote or my number 15 vote? And I do think the Electoral Commission, to be fair, is doing it, trying to do a decent job of trying to simplify what can be a pretty complicated situation at the ballot box, and certainly when, like on Friday, when we're going to have two ballot papers, or in Limerick where they'll have 3, because obviously they'll be voting for the mayor of Limerick as well. It can be very very confusing, and I'm not surprised to hear to read our research a few weeks ago that there was many spoiled ballots which were not deliberate. So in other words, people spoiled their ballot by mistake. But I would say to anybody who was confused in the ballot station or in the in the polling station on Friday, Matt, is to take their time, but also talk to one of the staff on duty, and their job there is not just to give you out the ballot paper and send you to the counter. Their job is also to explain and to help explain. They'll be able to tell you one ballot for local elections, one ballot for European elections. So the golden rule, I think, is take your time.
Gary Murphy and Teresa Pachkowska, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.